We're going to be talking about patience. Now, people say, don't ever pray for patience, because then all hell will break loose. Well, guess what? No matter what, something's going to break loose. You're going to need it anyways. There's no way. It rains on the just and the unjust. The difference is those of us who have God living within us by the Holy Spirit actually have someone else to deal with the issues through us, for us. But what I'm going to teach you today, and also preach on, is there are actually two different types of patience. That word patience that we read, patience, endurance, long-suffering, in the Bible, they're actually two totally different words that sometimes are read the same way. But my question for myself and for Ronnie, Ronnie and I had a great discussion over dinner Friday night, and we were talking about some people issues, some things going on. We're talking about, he was talking about getting impatient with someone or something or an issue. And I shared with him how I had been snapping at the two guys that I work with this week. And I couldn't understand why I was impatient with them. They hadn't done anything wrong. I was just snappy. And I'm normally not snappy. Not like that. Especially because I work with great guys. I got no reason to be. But I thought, what is my problem? And so that's why I thought I need to let God minister to me about patience and why I would get impatient. I'm going to start with Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12, because I'm going to talk about patience and what it has to do with purpose. If you don't have a Bible, there's some Bibles right there underneath the box. Everybody got a Bible? Yeah, they're right there, I think. We're going to start at Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And this is the key verse. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. I want to pray. Father, I thank you that it is your desire above all else that we live by the Spirit, not according to the flesh, but most of all that we would live according to your purpose for our life. Lord, that our sole focus in everything that happens to us would be whether or not our purpose is your purpose. And Lord, that by your power, you will give us the endurance and the patience to walk through all things and deal with all people so that your purpose may be accomplished. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, that verse in the NIV is being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. The New American Standard says, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. The Amplified says, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. Now, that first word that is endurance or steadfastness or perseverance, that is, the Greek word is hypomone. And that endurance or patience means bearing negative circumstances with a hopeful attitude and a constant faith in God. This is important. Bearing negative circumstances. All right. Do you know what the word happiness means, where it comes from? Happiness comes from happenstance. In other words, happenstance is something that just happens. And it makes you happy. Okay? happens. It just happens to you. You can't make happenstance happen. It just happens. All right? So your circumstances, as Ronnie was talking about, sometimes your circumstances just happen to you. And sometimes they are not what you want them to be. Someone gets sick, lose a job, have a financial issue, whatever it is, have a relationship that dies. Anything like that is the circumstances, and you have these negative circumstances. How you deal with the circumstance, having a hopeful attitude in God during this, and a constant faith in God during this, that is the definition of patience. But as we see in number 11, in verse 11, it says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have this patience. The fruit of the Spirit, as I said earlier, cannot be manufactured. Can you make yourself peaceful? Can you make yourself love someone?
Well, you can temporarily sometimes, maybe if it's a Mr. Good bar or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Temporal.
It's something temporal.
Coffee with hazelnut.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking the real love.
Yes.
The real love and the real peace. Because real love in the Bible is agape, which is translated into charity. When we give to charity, what do? We give to someone else for their benefit without any thought of getting anything back. Love is giving of yourself for the benefit of another. We do not naturally do that because we are too selfish. We are completely self-consumed. And in all honesty, most of us, when we say, I love you, that really means you make me feel great. Being in love means I want you for myself. Do you know that the word agape is only in the Bible? It is not a regular Greek word. It is only used in the Bible. It is a God term. We don't have that. God has it. Peace. Peace has been described as the absence of striving. But that's not what it is. It's like being without something. Peace is a steadfastness. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Peace is a sureness. It's a calmness that comes with a sureness. Basically that everything is okay. Right? Do we really know that everything's okay? No, the only way we get peace is by trusting in God and letting that peace that passes all understanding flow through us. With me?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Same thing with patience. You ever tried faking patience? I do it all the time. Because sometimes people just annoy me. And so what do? I control my voice. I control. But honestly, am I being patient? No. Not at all. Can't fake it. I have to have the power of God through the Holy Spirit that's living in me actually flow through me. How is fruit made? How is fruit made? It's not made. A tree grows, sap, the life flows through a tree, and the tree just naturally makes the fruit, correct? If we have the Holy Spirit in us, as long as nothing happens to the tree to cut off the sap, the fruit just blossoms.
Yeah.
Right?
It's good.
We, if we stay in the Spirit, if we listen to God, and most importantly, continually surrender to God, then his life flows through us and the fruit of the Spirit comes out.
Yes.
So that's why I was thinking, Lord, why don't I have this patience? That's because I've been tying a knot in the branch. Mm-hmm. You can. Have you ever gone and seen, I forgot where I drive by every day, and you can see where they've removed kudzu from these huge trees and the indentation spiraling on the trees of where it was choking. Kudzu will kill. Why? Because it stops the life force from flowing through the tree. What we do as Christians, we choke the life force of the Holy Spirit out of our daily life. And that's why we do not act like Christ. Now the question is, why do we do that? You would think it's kind of stupid, wouldn't it? We want patience. The problem is, that's not all we want.
Here it comes.
Yeah, here it comes. All right, patience. This first one, hypomone, cheerful or hopeful endurance, constancy. It's used as enduring once and patience 29 times. But what it means is steadfastness, constancy, endurance. Includes in trials incident to service in the gospel. In other words, when we're serving the Lord, it's stuff that can happen to us. It's bad. And chastisement, viewed as coming from the hand of God, sometimes God needs to just whoop our behinds. Right? We always used to tell my daughter, you are on the shortest leash we have ever seen. Seriously, she couldn't do anything without somehow it getting back to us in the strangest ways.
Busted.
I mean, really. So, in all of the things, and also in undeserved affliction and in well-doing and in bearing fruit and in running the appointed race, you need this endurance because stuff happens. People ask, why do bad things happen to good people? That's because there's such a thing as free will. We are not puppets. God does not make us do things. We interact with other people who have free will. Now, what God does, however, is he is able to, I think of him as the master chess player. Someone uses their free will to make a move. He makes a counter move, which puts things back into his will. C.S. Lewis once said that God uses everyone in his plan, in his kingdom, for his purpose. It's whether or not you serve as Judas or John. That's your choice. But he uses both for his purpose. Patience perfects Christian character. And fellowship in the patience of Christ is the condition upon which believers are to be admitted to reign with him. In 2 Timothy 2:12 it says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. So endurance, steadfastness, constancy. Now what does constancy mean?
Continuance.
Continuance meaning you're the same. You continue.
Consistent.
Consistent. But that constancy, Ronnie used the word determined purpose. That Jesus' face is set like flint. He is constantly going after the Father, going and following his purpose, what he's called to do, and he never veers to the right or to the left, does he? That's constancy. And this word here does not just mean patience, it's an active word. It is constantly continuing after our purpose, regardless of what's happening, believing we have a good attitude because we have hope that God knows what he's doing and faith that God will accomplish my purpose regardless of what has happened. Right? God strengthens us according to his power and might so that we might remain under whatever circumstances we are dealing with. It's the same steadfastness that Jesus had and exhibited while he lived on the earth. 2 Thessalonians 3:5 says, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now this actual word, hypomone, means literally hypo, under, moneo, remain. This is a kind of endurance or patience. Means you keep going even though everything is piling up on top of you and weighing you down. Remain under. When the circumstances weigh you down, you keep going. And you keep going with a hopeful attitude with faith in God, that it will not always remain this way. What is Satan's most powerful lie? Things will always remain just like they are now. It'll always be this way. And what's the scripture that you can always counter it with? This too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't have faith in God that He knows what He's doing, and hopeful that He is going to, by His power, complete what it is that He's calling us to, we might as well lay down and die. We need the endurance, the steadfastness, and the constancy. So that one, hypomone, remain under, deals with circumstances. Now the other one is macrothemia. This is patience / long-suffering. If the first one was endurance and constancy regardless of what happens to you, anyone want to guess what macrothemia is? Long suffering. Bearing with people who injure you without avenging yourself and losing your temper. Long suffering. Bearing with people who injure you without avenging yourself and losing your temper. Now, it's really just being long suffering with a person. They might just be getting on your nerves. They may not really actually injure you, but they annoy you. That word means longanimity, long soul, a disposition to bear injuries patiently. Long suffering is the word that it's used over and over again. And really, long suffering is a much better word than patience, because patience sounds like you just have to wait it out. Long-suffering means you have to suffer long with someone.
As long as it takes.
As long as it takes. Mm-hmm. Constancy, steadfastness. So it's the constancy and steadfastness, not because of what happens to you, but because of what people do to you or how they react around you. Two different types of patience are required. Slowness in avenging wrongs. Long-suffering is that quality of self-restraint. Self-restraint in the face of provocation, which does not hastily retaliate or promptly punish. It is the opposite of anger. Listen to me. Long-suffering is the opposite of anger. There's going to be a test on. And is associated with mercy and is used of God. Now, this I found very interesting. Long-suffering, the quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation, which does not hastily retaliate or promptly punish. It is the opposite of anger. It is associated with mercy. And it is used of God. In other words, this is the word that is used of God. That God is patient. He is long-suffering with us, even though we continually provoke Him.
Mm-hmm.
Now the other one, the other patience, is the quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. It is the opposite of despondency. When you go through trials and you just give up, you feel hopeless, that's despondency. The other patience is the opposite of despondency, and it's associated with hope. It is never used in association with God. I found that very interesting. God is long-suffering with us, but he doesn't have to be long-suffering with circumstances and have trust in himself. He bears, it's just natural for him to bear whatever happens. He controls everything, right? So he doesn't have to be long-suffering or constant in stuff that happens to him. Nothing happens to God.
He is who he is.
Mm-hmm. However, he does have to have patience with us who have free will, who he has decided not to control. Go ahead.
Real quickly, when you said 2 Timothy, I turned over, for this reason I endure he said there. But I found it interesting. It goes on down. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And and then it goes on, and the key scripture here was, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And this word here in the Greek, apisteo, which means
apisteo,
yeah, to fail, to exercise the proper faith, confidence, dependence, and trustworthiness. It says, when we do not exercise the proper faith in the Lord, he still remains faithful. He is trustworthy. His trustworthiness does not depend on our trustworthiness. Mm-hmm. There's a certain faithfulness which God demonstrates towards his children, which is not conditional. If we are sinning, miss his mark for our lives, he still demonstrates faithfulness to us in keeping us in his fold. He cannot deny himself.
Because we have the Holy Spirit in us. He cannot turn us away from him. All right, so you guys now understand the difference between the two patients. One is a constancy while your situations are bearing down on you and you keep having hope in God and faith in God. The other is long-suffering with people who provoke you for whatever reason and not retaliating, not avenging yourself, but instead having mercy. Having mercy. What Ronnie asks this question a lot, what's grace and what's mercy? Grace is the power, supernatural power that God gives us that we don't deserve. Mercy is not giving us the punishment that we deserve. So now that we understand patience, what does this have to do with purpose? Patience in the New Testament, it's the characteristic of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. What is your deliberate purpose? If patience is the characteristic of a man who's not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to his faith, what is your deliberate purpose? I'm going to challenge you this morning. Purpose is the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. Deliberate purpose means you have consciously chosen to make this your purpose, your reason for doing everything. Every decision you make is guided by your desire to achieve that purpose. All of us have purpose, things we've purposed in our hearts to do. Purpose to lose weight, purpose to find a mate, purpose to make more money, purpose to have a baby, purpose to do whatever, purpose to be prettier, purpose to be nicer, purpose whatever, right? But these are our deliberate purposes, the things we have purposed for ourselves. And everything we do for that purpose. I know for me, I mean, everybody else here knows how I've been working on my weight, and from 2 weeks ago when I did the sermon, how my issue, my purpose, my overall determining purpose was to lose weight. Everything revolved around that. Absolutely everything, every thought, everything I did was for that purpose. Until God smacked me around. And he said, enough. Stop it. You're not going to lose the weight the way you want. You're going to do this because I told you to be obedient. You're going to do this because it's healthy. You're going to do this because I want you to be disciplined. Because as you discipline yourself, then I can trust you to be disciplined enough to do other things. So all of a sudden, my purpose was gone. That deliberate personal purpose was gone. Have you ever lost your purpose in life? When Ronnie and I, we were in ministry at another church, and then all of a sudden we weren't in ministry in that church. That was a struggle. That was a struggle, especially for Ronnie, because he was 24 hours a day. He was a pastor. Going to the jails and going to the funeral homes and visiting people and doing all this stuff. That was rough when you lose your purpose. And you question your purpose because of circumstances that happen, right?
That's right.
So you can feel lost. What is it that you have consciously set your sights on that motivates you, that moves you forward in whatever direction you go? What is it that makes you do the things that you do? I want you to stop a second and I want you to think. What is your daily purpose when you get up in the morning or when you go to sleep at night and you're making your list of things to do? What is it that is your purpose? You don't have to say it out loud. I want you to nod your head when you come up with an answer as to whatever it is that's important to you. Might be making money, might be having a relationship, might be fixing a relationship, might be getting a job, it might be anything. But shake your head when you've figured out what your purpose has been lately. All right. Is it to be happy? Is it to obtain something or someone to bring you peace, joy, and satisfaction? Is it to change yourself or someone else to be some other way? I read a quote from someone that seemed to epitomize what we all want from our fleshly perspective. I read this and I went, whoa. For me, I want to live happily without too many outside influences. I want to eat great food, travel, and surround myself with loved ones. The goal, live simply, whatever that means. I thought, that is perfect. Really? I want to feel good. I want to taste good things. I want to be around people that make me feel good. And that's all that matters.
Travel.
Mm-hmm, travel. I want to see places that are beautiful and make me feel good. However, Christians who want to please God and be godly cannot have this as their purpose. I'm going to read this again. Christians who want to please God and be godly cannot have that as their purpose. Not having outside influences simply means doing whatever I feel like whenever I feel like it. And having no one to answer to. Right? And not feeling guilty about it or explain myself to anyone or be told that there are negative consequences to my actions. Living simply for this person means simply doing whatever I want or feel in order to make myself happy. Now, honestly, even as Christians, let's be honest. That's pretty much what we want.
You're hurting us.
So as long as our purpose is to be happy, as long as our purpose is to get what I want, to do what I want, to feel good all the time.
Preach it. Yep.
If that is what our purpose is, anything that gets in the way of our purpose will make us what? Impatient. We want, once we have a purpose, what do we want to see? We want to see the end result of that purpose. Right? For me, it was the weight. I want to see the weight come off. Not happening. So what do? If my purpose is dependent on seeing the result of my purpose, the moment something goes wrong and my goal gets pushed off, despondency. I give up.
Yep.
Why? Because the purpose that I have set my goals on, set myself towards, are not being achieved, and so I give up. I become impatient. Does that make sense?
Yes.
For Christians, God is our outside influence, which we cannot live without. Our lives are not meant to revolve around our fleshly appetites and desires. Our lives are called to revolve around God's purposes, God's kingdom, and how He calls us to play a part in all of it. How He calls us to play a part in His kingdom and His purpose. In all honesty, most of us go through the day And that is not even on our radar. Some of us don't know what our purpose is in God. Our personal calling, or we're not thinking about those. All we're thinking about is our deliberate purpose. The things, the plans we've made for ourselves, the goals we've made for ourselves. Some of us have cross purposes. We have multiple purposes and interests and intents in our lives that actually work against each other. This is where we get in trouble. We want to be healthy, but we also want to eat and drink and smoke whatever we want. We want to be godly and righteous and obedient to Christ, but we also want to do whatever makes us feel good.
Yeah.
One purpose normally cancels the other purpose out. Continuing in cross purposes is insanity. So we want to be Christ-like. We want to be godly. But we also want blank. Right? What is your eternal purpose? According to God, it is to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 28 through 30. Everybody knows the first part of this verse. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. But everybody stops there. But it says what our purpose is in the next verse. Mm-hmm. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn of many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. And what does that say? Everything that happens to us, the circumstances, the people, everything that happens to us, God will use according to his purpose for our life. Fortunately or unfortunately for us, however we see it, that purpose is conforming us into the image of Jesus. And no matter what happens to us, good or bad, he will use that to chisel at us,
yes,
to change us. Mm-hmm. He will test us and tempt us. What does the word tempt mean? It means that he allows us to be in a situation where what is inside of us comes to the top.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What happens when you put a fire up? If you're cooking chicken breasts in water, okay? And you're boiling it. You put a fire under the water. You put the chicken in. And what happens? What do you have at the top of the water?
Foam.
The foam, the fat. All right? That fire underneath it takes it and separates things off of the chicken that rises to the top. In the Old Testament, it says that we are being refined as refiner's silver. Now, what that means is they would take silver and they would put it over high heat, and then what is called the dross would come up to the top. And then they would skim off the stuff at the top. And you know how they would know when the silver was ready? The refiner would look in the pot and see his reflection. Think about that. God puts us and allows us and uses every situation that happens to us to bring up inside of us what's already there. His goal is for us to allow him then to skim it off the top so that when he looks at us, all he sees is his reflection. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's right, that foggy film. None of us is an exact replication of Jesus. But every time we face these things, these issues, these people that cause us to be constant and have long suffering, God is using this to bring up out of us what's in us that needs to be gone. So therefore, if our purpose, if our overriding purpose is to be changed into the image of Jesus, then everything that happens to us allows us to see ourselves achieving that goal. God doesn't waste a hurt. Nothing that happens to us, no matter how heavy the burden is, or no matter how annoying that person is, God is using that to make us and conform us into the image of Jesus. So if my purpose is to lose weight quickly, I will be continually disappointed and despondent. I will lose hope. I will become impatient. I will swerve off the way. But the moment God showed me that the purpose was not the end result of losing weight, but was the continual disciplining of myself, all of a sudden, my purpose was different. And even though I don't see an end result, I know that I am achieving my purpose by simply doing it. You follow?
Yes.
If our only purpose is to be conformed to the image of Jesus, no matter what happens and who happens to us, we can keep our faith and we can be patient and endure with hope in God that He's using this situation to conform us to the image of Jesus.
Yes.
And faith that He will remove me from this situation or give me a way to bear it.
Yes.
While He is scooping the dross off the top. But sometimes we fight against Him. We refuse to take a look at how ugly we become when we don't get what we want and when other people are causing us discomfort.
Yes.
And instead we fight all the harder to be more comfortable and to get out of this pain. And we stop God. What we do is, it's like we turn the heat up even more so it starts bubbling, so it's impossible to skim the stuff off the top. We have to stay still. We have to set our face like flint. We have to continue to go after God. And with trust, He's going to take this and change us. And that when He's looking at us, He's seeing more and more of Himself. When that is your overall, overriding, all-consuming purpose, it will guide everything else in your life. It will cancel out the point of sub-purposes. You will view everything that happens in your life through one filter. If I will allow Him to do this, God will use what has happened or is about to happen as His tool for conforming me into the image of Christ. Every time I surrender to His Holy Spirit and act according to His leading and teaching, I am achieving my purpose in life. Anybody who's ever been on a diet goes, I wish I could get brownie points or lose weight just because I didn't eat that brownie. Why can't I have those calories deducted from me just because I didn't eat it? Well, you wish. Well, I wish there were ways to get brownie points with God without achieving anything. There is. God gives brownie points for surrendering. There are brownie points in God's kingdom for not doing the wrong thing, but surrendering to the Holy Spirit that's whispering to you, don't do that. That's obedience. And if my main purpose is to become more God-like, more Christ-like every day, then no matter what happens to me, I will achieve God's purpose for me. I can remain steadfast in my loyalty to God and His purpose for me in any circumstance, around any person, because my overriding goal in life is to be changed into Jesus Christ in character, love, and power. My actions confirm my unshakable belief that He will use this uncomfortable situation to achieve that purpose. He can use even my failures as a chisel to remove my flaws and imperfections. So why do we lose our patience? Pretty simple. Impatience occurs when I don't believe that what I'm doing will achieve what is most important to me. I give up because I don't see the goal line or the end result of my highest personal purpose coming to fruition. I believe that our cross purposes cause us to have impatience and give up because although we want to be godly and please God, we also want to satisfy ourselves instead of leaving it to God's timing and choices in how we are to be satisfied. So when we are faced with a situation or person that is causing us discomfort, we have to deliberately choose what our overriding purpose is. Is it to feel better, or is it to be changed into the image of Christ? I'm going to close with this, 2 Timothy 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. Now I'm going to skip down to 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So here is Paul telling Timothy, people are going to go absolutely crazy. Actually, it's not even going to be like that. It's going to be, people are going to become completely inward focused. I, me, mine. That's the whole point. Lovers of what feels good rather than lovers of God. But then he says, but you know my purpose. Timothy knew that Paul's purpose, above all else, was to serve God and to be conformed into the image of Jesus. We need to be a people who lives so that our actions show everyone what our purpose is. Does that make sense? Are we lovers of self or lovers of God? Are we godly, or do we try to look godly on the outside, but on the inside we have no power? We must examine our personal purposes, our guiding and leading motivations. If our overriding purpose is not to be conformed into the image of Jesus, our attitude and our actions will be swayed by every circumstance and every relationship that doesn't go our way. Every decision we make, every action we take, tells the world what our purpose is, whether it is to serve ourselves or to serve God. I had a bumper sticker-like thing on my computer about 20 years ago at work. And it was simple and concise. Christ is life. The rest is details. Our purpose has to be Christ is life. Everything else has to be a sub-purpose. Living for, surrendering to God as he conforms us into the image of Jesus. This is what he calls us to. So what I'm going to do now is we're going to open up for prayer.